Yeah, 132.
132.
Morning.
Morning.
Welcome to Dispensation Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, Bible's own way, and we're just sitting here, I don't want to say jawing, but we was jawing in the Word of God, and we was talking about some things pertaining to the Scriptures, and we'd like to encourage you, if you in the area, come join us. We appreciate you tuning in online, and as we continue our study, we also want to sing out of the Red Book this morning. We're going to sing He Lives, and it's number 132 in the Red Book. We're going to sing 1 and 3. And the chorus will take off again for a third time, so...
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer, and just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives, He lives. Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. Another is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, lives, He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. Walks with thee and talks with thee along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. He lives, He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. Walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Amen. Good morning once again. I'll be turning to Genesis chapter 1, verse 13. Woke up with a little sinus headache this morning, so I think that's what's throwing my equilibrium around. Lesson 8. You know, we left off last week talking about Genesis 1:11, where let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and a fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seeds is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And we talked about, you know, breeds of dogs and things like that, that you have certain breeds of dogs that man has bred to do certain things. And we're at Genesis 1:13. And it says, and the evening and the morning were the third day. Now, if you notice, you want to notice some things about these days. In verse 2, he says, the earth was without form, and it's formless, and it was void, and it was empty. And in the first 3 days, he makes the third heaven. And then he makes the second heaven, the third firmament, and all those things. And then he makes the earth appear and dry land and plants. And those first 3 days, he has given the form to the formless creation. So he's starting to build a form around it and have it. And now in the next 3 days, he fills the form with fullnesses. Now at the beginning... Now the beginning of the fourth day, he's going to put things into that form he just created. Anybody ever built a form for a house or a garden or a sidewalk?
Yeah.
You know, you have to build a form before you put something in it. You know, yeah, because if you don't, you ever try to, I remember when we lived up the street here and we had, we made makeshift sidewalks, okay? We did the landscape and timbers, and we put stepping stones in there. Well, it was like this, you know, after rains came and all that stuff. So we decided to have somebody, guy said, hey, I know how to build forms. We'll order your cement and stuff like that. So he actually started building forms for that sidewalk. Then you put stuff in it. Then you start to finish it. If you didn't have that form to hold it, it would just run all over the place. No matter what you do, you have a form how you build things. And that's what God is doing. And there's a reason in the last lesson we were showing you that form of the universe and what God was doing. He had to keep it together. And now he's going to go back and is going to start putting things in that form. Verse 2 really outlines what happens later. And is without form and it is empty. So so first he puts a form to it and then fullnesses. And that's where the outline of the chapter goes in our mind. We should think about that. Verse 14. And God said, let there be the lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. You know what that is, don't you? The sun and the moon. And he made stars also. When he says he made stars also, it doesn't mean that he made them as an afterthought. But he made them also to what? Rule. Okay? This is what they're going to do. Those planetary bodies are designed in heaven and are put there to benefit of the earth. We're looking at a structure, guys. We're looking at the heavenly places, and what we're studying in Genesis is going to bring light in the fact what Paul gives us further revelations in Ephesians chapter 2, or book of Ephesians, period. The earth in the original creation was the command center of the universe. You ever heard people, they used to talk about the earth, the center, and everything revolved around the earth? Mm-hmm. You know what that's called? Geocentricity. Then Galileo now came around to know everything goes around the sun. So what's everybody teach today? Around the sun. Okay. But we also know when he separated firmament, what's out there in the middle?
Water.
No, when he separated firmament and they put that planet Earth out there, hung Earth on nothing, where's the Earth at? Way over here on the side? Right there in the middle, where all creation can see what God's going to do. Mm-hmm. That's just an afterthought. But it is a place where the command post, the authority center for God, the government of God over the universe, was located. The earth. It will once again be in ages to come over here. It's going to be the center and the government structure of the universe. Right now, knowing what you know right now, that you've been studying right division for a little while, who commands the earth? What is he known as? God of this world, okay? We also know that the first and second heaven is corrupted. Who runs that? If it's corrupted, Satan. He's known as the prince of power of the air. Where is God, the Father, and the Son at right now? In the third heaven. In the God throne room up there. That's where God said he's going to sit until he makes his enemies what? His footstools. In 1 John chapter 1. Keep your finger there in Genesis and go to John chapter, not 1 John, but John, the book of John, chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 1, verse 49. John chapter 1, verse 49. Nathanael answered and said unto him, unto Christ, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. The context is a discussion about the King of Israel, about the millennium, and now Christ being the King, verse 51. And he said unto him, that's Christ saying unto Nathanael, John chapter 1, verse 51.
Sorry.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So what's that? What's going on there? Where's ascending at? What does that mean? Coming off of Christ, right? Coming off the Son of God and coming back. Remember the, I don't know if we get there yet, but you remember the Jacob's ladder?
That's what I was just thinking.
You remember what the angels was doing? The angels was coming out of heaven, down the earth, and then they're back up, right?
Mm-hmm.
No. They was coming out, going up, they was ascending and then descending. So what that should tell you, something's going on the earth with God. That tells you that there's a control center going on here. And God says that he'll see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. In the millennium kingdom over there, after we're already out of here, they're going to see Christ, and they're going to see the angels coming and going from his presence, coming and going in a function to do their duties. Because when he comes down here, I hope I'm not getting ahead of myself, but I want you to think about, after we're called out of here, the 70 week of Daniel starts over here, okay? And then the heaven, when Jesus Christ leaves his throne room to come to this earth to fight the Antichrist over here, he cleanses the heavens. And we looked and saw what Job talked about that before. The heavens are not cleansed, guys. The heavens are distorted. The heaven is not good.
Even the third heaven?
No, not the third heaven.
The first
and second heaven is corrupted.
Right.
So when God comes down, he cleanses those things, and all the rebellious angelic beings come to this earth, and this is their final resting place before they get called out, cast out in the lake of fire. So,
fallen angels, they're in the third heaven.
No. There's no corruption in the third heaven. Period. The fallen angels in the first and second heavens. Okay?
So they're not in places of
government? Yes. The government is in the first and second heaven, but the throne of God is different.
Oh.
And that's what we looked at before. Those positions and powers are out there. Satan's controlling those.
Uh-huh.
And then they're going to go from and coming and going from his presence and going and coming to function their duties and going out to the heavens and coming back. So if he's sitting on the throne, when he sits on the throne here in the millennium kingdom, the authorities is going to go out in the heavens because the heavens already been taken care of with the body of Christ and the angelic beings, okay? It's already taking place, and they're continuing the government. So they're going up and down from his presence. And people ask What does it say about ascending and descending rather than descending and then ascending? See? There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is that the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ is the command center, guys. And he's going to be sending them out on his business, and they'll be coming back to report to him. And I do believe when it's all said and done, when there's a new heaven, in the dispensation of the fullness of time, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10 says, in the dispensation of full of time, he gathers together in himself all things what's on earth and heaven. There's going to be a new earth, there's going to be a new heaven, and Jesus Christ, I believe, he's going to be in a neutral location, and he's going to have rule and reign over the whole thing. And with that's the case, they're going to be going this way and this way from him anyway. No matter where he's at, he's the command center. And when the focus is back on this earth, where's Lord Jesus Christ at?
Jerusalem.
On the throne of God. And the command center's going to go out. That government don't stop up there, guys. It hasn't stopped now. So Satan is a prince of power that's there. He controls that first and second heaven. There's governments up there. And the fallen angels are there along with the non-fallen angels. Hmm. And he's controlling them. And he is the center of activity. Boy, Satan don't like that. He don't like that now because who do we worship? God. We worship Jesus Christ according to revelation of the mystery. We don't worship Jesus Christ as the earthly ministry. He would much rather you start preaching and teaching the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ rather than this. He is on the earth, on the throne, with a government that extends all the way through the universe. He is the head of the government of the universe, Jesus Christ is. And we know it because the Word says he's going to give it to his Son, God the Father is. Now, signs in heaven, Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. Signs in heaven. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. They are up there for the benefit of the earth. And what they're going to do. And let them be signs for seasons and for days and for years. You can understand days, can't you?
How time works.
You can understand seasons. You can understand years. But all those things were associated with something else. And remember what Paul says in Galatians? I worry about you because you keep days and months and times and years. We do that today, don't we? Oh, time. Time's getting away. It's Sunday. Oh, man, I got to go to work tomorrow. We shouldn't be worrying about that stuff, but we do. The significance of all those things, that the reason for the birthdays, Christmas, Easter, and all those celebrations of religious all started with the issue right there. Let there be signs. Let them be for signs. I look at the Farmer Almanac. I still love the calendar that you get from the Farmer Almanac. It shows you good fishing days, poor fishing days. It shows you when to plant and when not to plant. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That type of thing. And you're like, whoa. You know, I still look at the moon. You can see the moon filling up right now. When the moon's this way and it starts to tip this way, guess what it's doing? It's tipping out the water in the moon. Guess what happens? It rains. It snows. Then goes this corner, starts filling up again, starts drying up. Seasons and times. You can get caught up in that stuff. And there's very interesting thing when you study the stars of the Bible. God has numbered them. He also what? Has named them. I always kid people, but it's true. Remember Diana Warwick? She sung a song. Do you know the way to San Jose? Do, 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 do. And then she turns around and has a commercial like, for $39, we can name a star after you. Now, she don't know her way to San Jose, but she's going to turn around and tell you you can name a star after you. That type of thing, you know? We kid about that, but it's true. People sell you gimmicks and scams every day, but God's named them.
Amen.
Just take what God named them and go on with it. Psalms 147, Isaiah 40, and Genesis 37. Psalms 147. We're just going to use that one verse there. Psalms 147, verse 4. We'll go there first. I'll give you time to get to the other ones. To get Psalms 147 first. God has numbered the stars, and he also named them. Didn't you tell somebody in the Bible that he knows every number a hair on your head?
Mm-hmm.
And you think he would name all the stars? Mm-hmm. Didn't he give Adam a job on this earth to name every animal?
Yeah.
And he studied those animals. Mm-hmm. And he watched those animals. He said, horse.
Because God called the whales, whales. But everything else was
And then man wants to say, well, no whale in the Bible, that type of thing. Big fish. But Psalms 147, verse 4, he telleth. That's like a teller at the bank counting up. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their what?
Names. They've already got names.
He's numbered them, and he's named them. God has given them the names of the stars and constellations out there, and he knows exactly how many they are and what they're there for. He knows exactly how many fail with Satan, and he knows exactly who hasn't. He knows exactly who's saved today on this earth, and he knows exactly who's not on this earth. You can't hide anything from God. Mm-hmm. Went to the gym Saturday and working out a little bit, and a dear friend caught me, goes, Ed, I know two things you fear for, you fear of. I said, what's that? He said, God and your wife. You know, like, you're afraid of God, you fear God and your wife. I said, well, you know, I was trying to argue with him a little bit. I guess you're right. I am fearful of my wife, that type of thing. But anyway, that was a joke. But the thing was, is the fact that where, who do you fear? You're going to fear God because he knows everything about you? I do.
Mm-hmm. Fear is a form
of, you know, because what is this Bible? When you read the Bible, what does it do?
Reach you.
That's why a lot of people don't want to mess with it. Mm-hmm. He knows what I am. He knows how I am. God does. And then he goes, Isaiah 40. In Isaiah 40, verse 26. Isaiah 40, verse 26, and Genesis chapter 37, verse 9. Isaiah 40, verse 26 says, lift up your eyes on high.
What? And be first?
Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatest of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one what? Failing. He knows the numbers and the names of the stars. That's what we're looking at. Genesis chapter 37, and get Psalms 19. Very, very important to know when he created these hosts, it wasn't just an afterthought. Mm-hmm. Genesis 37 and Psalms 19. Everything that God does has a purpose. And he's filling that form that we're talking about with fullness. You know something? Only God can do that. Mm-hmm. Me and you would never have a knowledge or fathom what. Mm-mm. We would have a committee. You ever watch some of these committees in these governments and stuff? Do they have your best interests in hand sometimes? No. Every one of them, you're like, no. You know, there's a group of people over in a country right now trying to tell you how you're going to live.
Mm-hmm.
And God's like, I'm going to show you how to live. And that's why some of us is getting older and we're like, Lord, come quickly.
Yeah. Now, in a glorified body, we will know everything, right?
everything God has. But think about this. Paul says we got the mind of Christ on. We get what with that thought, we know everything that God has put in this book or should know. Now, yeah. after the fact, if he says this is what we're doing else for eternity, times and times, ages to come, you know, he may go back with the stars, but hold on that thought a minute. Because Genesis 37, verse 9 says, and he's talking about Joseph and the dream he had. And he dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me. You know there's more than 11 stars out there, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. And he's talking about the sun and moon, 11 stars, and himself is 12. They're out there in the universe. Those 12 signs, you know what? Where I'm going with this? Are what?
Zodiac.
The zodiac. Okay, they're not just 12 little stars up there in a little bundle right now, you know, or you hit your head and you see stars, that type of things. You ever try to count them stars? Way too many. But there are 12 signs in the zodiac out there, and it maps out the path of the sun that goes through the heavens. That's what that zodiac is used for. It's mapping out the sun. Could you say S-O-N or could you say S-U-N? It's going to map out the sun and in the heavens. And it is a step to mark the sun's path as it goes through the heavens. And the zodiac is evidently the thing he is referring to here. And those things have a number and they have names, and God established that thing when he created it. And when those things were put there, they were put there for the purpose of communicating some doctrine and some truth to mankind. Back in Romans 1, what we looked at, when he says the power, his power and his Godhead are clearly seen. The things that objectively observed and taught in creation. Remember we looked at last lesson. Romans 1 has to do with creation. They did not want to retain God or knowledge. They did not want to mention to God the Creator, and they started worshiping what? All kinds of things. And you see that today. And they are objectively rejecting God's special revelation of Him Himself in Romans chapter 1. You're in Psalms 19 right now, right? In Psalms 19, verse 1. So Romans chapter 1 tells us what they did with God the Creator in their imaginations and did not worship Him. God the Creator has put the zodiac out there for signs and mapped the path of how the sun's coming. And that zodiac is there for a good thing. And I'm using God's zodiac, so to speak. Psalms 19 verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork.
Where?
Psalms. Psalms 19, 1. The heavens declare of the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. There, that is where we are in Genesis chapter 1. We are in the firmament with the stars. Okay, you go back to Genesis. You don't have to stay there. But when he put the stars out there, that's what Psalms is talking about. Verse 2, day unto day utter speech, and night unto night soweth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. What voice?
The voice of the heavens.
The stars. The host.
Gospel in the stars.
Out there. And he says, their line is gone out through all the earth, and the words to the end of the earth. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. So those zodiacs up there, those constellations that you look at, are up there for a reason. To map the path of the sun. The glory of God is coming. And they had languages. Now, the idea is that God Almighty communicates through the message in the stars out there and the signs. He communicated the truth by naming them and sending out his testimonies under the stars, under the heavens, to all man. All creation could see it. And he put them for signs to communicate doctrine and information to men. Does men today still use that? Go up there and read the constellation and says this is what's going on, and every month you got this going on and that going on. Psalm, verse 7, the law of the Lord is what? Perfect. Converting the soul, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. In the first 6 verses of Psalms 19, he talks about the heavens and the message in the stars. Then from verse 7 to the end, he talks about the Bible. And when God began to write his revelation, now this is very, very important, you guys get this. When he began to write his revelation in a book, he withdrew the communication that was in the stars that would have been communicated orally. Listen, when Adam was on this earth, did he have a Bible?
Yeah.
How did he know some things? God walked with him. But how? What else did he know?
The zodiac.
The zodiac, the stars. They were speaking to creation. And they're like this. I mentioned something on my Facebook page, throwed out a question, true or false, about Cain and Abel. They was expelled out of the garden. Did they know what to bring sacrifices to God? If they was cast out before they fell, or after they fell, did they know what sacrifices to bring God?
Yes.
Yeah.
How?
He told them.
He told them. He taught them. He told them what to do. Everybody knew. All mankind knew. And kept bringing, when Abraham built an altar, didn't he? Sacrifice to God. So they know. But this thing here, when God began to produce the written word of God, that revelation out in the stars was done away with in favor of this revelation. The written word of God. And therefore, there is no way you can read the stars and get the message, because God is not revealing himself through that now. Mm-hmm. But what does people do?
Read your horoscope.
Horoscope. You do know the horoscope is twisted now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's corrupted.
God started out with a
virgin.
The virgin, and he ends with a Leo. It's not like that today. And man's stuff. He reveals himself through the pages of the book. The law of the Lord, the written word of God, is now the message, and it replaced the other. And they are both here in the book of Psalms that we just read about. When we're looking at things from the creation point of view, the purpose of these things, they are out there. When God withdrew the things, man corrupted them. Man did not want to lose what he had. Hey, man will fight you over anything. Man built a memorial on the earth, and it's called a sphinx. And you see it in Egypt, and it has a head of a woman and a body of what?
A horse.
A lion.
Two natured beasts. The Christ's got two natures.
But no, hang on a minute. What it's got? A woman, virgin,
mm-hmm.
and a what?
A lion.
And they combined them. They combined them. Check the zodiac. The first sign is Virgo, the virgin, and the last sign is Leo. The first coming of Christ, the virgin birth, and the second coming is King of Kings, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And history of the prophetic doctrine is in there. But we can't teach that today. We can't look at those stars out there today and say this is what God's doing. Some of those names of the signs are in the book of Job and Amos. And we do not have to have a completion of that revelation. But we do have his revelation written where?
In his word.
In his word. That God wrote down. The law of the Lord is perfect. He wrote it down perfectly. And he has preserved this one for us. The other one he did not preserve. Jeremiah 10 says, thus saith the Lord, lean not on the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. See how it's changed? See how they're... That's why when I started looking at this, and the heathen took up the revelation in them, what did they do? Corrupted it. And God says, don't mess with it. Go to Isaiah 47 right quick. Isaiah 47. He's talking to Israel, verse 13. If you take heed to what we're talking about here, and that the revelation of God is in this book and not out there in what you see, that eliminates about 90% of the religion system.
Where are we going?
Isaiah 47, verse 13. He's talking to Israel. Thou art wearied in the multitudes of thy counsel. Let now the astrologers, the star worshippers, not the astronomers, the stargazers, the monthly procrastinators, that's the horoscopes in your newspapers, stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. You think God knows what people was going to do? Mm-hmm. He just named everything that the world likes out there, building things and naming things and worshiping things. He said, if you guys, Israel, want all that stuff, go grab it. Just go get it. And have you noticed how people will read the horoscopes, the National Enquirer, for predictions? Like I just mentioned the farmer's almanac. I post stuff about almanac. If it's cold today, chances are it won't be cold Easter, that type of thing. People says, well, it don't snow in Hawaii. So where's he talking? Where's the farmer almanac pertaining to? And I've said, it does snow in Hawaii. 13,000 feet and on that big island, it snows up there. Mm-hmm. I remember my son, he re-enlisted on top of that mountain and it was 30-some degrees. And him standing out there doing this, that type of thing. So it can snow, but what I'm getting at is, I'll look at those things just to see what weather's going to be like or how I'm going to plant things. And there's 36 predictions about what is going to happen that year, you know, that type of thing. You can see it all the time, and people write books about that. People try to predict about the Lord coming back. How's that worked out all these years? And some of them still living and still writing books. And if you save it, and at the end of the year look back, not one of those things came true.
Storm.
People gets caught up in that stuff. But if you give them a Bible, what do they say? I don't want that stuff. Mm-hmm. That is not true. Man wrote that stuff.
Fairy tales.
But to go out here and worship anything from Buddha, Confucius, yeah, and all that stuff. And he says, and that stuff is you're reading about in Isaiah, that is what you're reading about. And the reason that there that is the what God withdrew in his into use in his method, guess who snatched it up? When God withdrew, not using the stars and creation out there as his revelation, guess who snatched it up?
Satan.
Sure did. He corrupted it. He propagated it among the heathen and binds them to it. Just remember when the written word of God, things change. God withdrew his revelation out there. That's in Genesis 1, verses 14 through 16. That is the purpose of the things. It is a reason for the container is made to hold them in there. So in closing is, if you think about what we just read about and thought about, it takes more faith to believe the revelation in this book than it does to see what you're seeing out there. Because we walk by faith. We are people of the Bible. Okay, we're not people of consolations. We're not people of the universe. We're not people of that type of thing. We're a people of the Bible. And that's who we need to be, who we are. And if you get people, talk to people, and they don't want to believe this, but they want to believe star glazing. Hey, y'all remember that show, Duck Dynasty, that was on? That was a big hit. You know, they made, I don't know how many. Well, they got one now talking about family treasures or something. And two of the boys are out, you know, looking for treasures. And I happened to turn it on last night, and they're in a people something, and they got a big mound there. And I'm thinking it was in Ohio. You know, all the earthworks, the mound. But it's in Louisiana. And I pulled it up on my, you know, looking at it, and I'm like, whoa. And it's no difference than all the earthworks mounds up here in Ohio or in Kentucky and stuff. So if you think about when you put all that stuff together, and Sherry and I was going to venture down on one Saturday morning, go down to Serpent Mound. They got a Serpent Mound State Memorial. That's what it's called, a state memorial.
What state are you talking about?
Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah. And so there's a Serpent Mound, I think 1,400 feet, and he says you can walk around it. You can find that in the stars.
Really?
You can find a snake, a serpent in the stars. So all this stuff that they built, man's built, is to worship the creature, like we talked about last week, more than the creator. It would take more for us to study this book and understand this book and believe this book than anything that religion can give you. Mm-hmm. I know it feels good. I know it seems good. I know it looks good. But God has changed his revelation and put it in a book. We can have it. And you can understand it. And my hope for you is that you will. And you continue to understand that when we talk about the correspondence between Genesis and Revelation, in Revelation 21 and 22, that is a way you go back and you talk, and when it comes over here, he goes back with the 12-fold divisions of the universe itself. Right now, what's God doing with those divisions in the universe? What are they? It's all mixed up. But God wants us today understanding where your position are in him, and you're going to understand what's up there in the heavenlies. You're going to be a part of that one day. And that there's division, that division is, and each one of those signs of the zodiac and the sun's pass, as you observe it, is going to go back over here. They're going to see it. That's why I mentioned something, and it might be strange to some ears, that when Satan is in that temple, and he desecrates it, and he looks up and he sees God. You know, we believe in a pre-trib rapture. He takes the church, the body of Christ, out of there. There's going to be a rapture mid-trib here. 144,000 is on this earth. They're going to go up. And then there's a post-trib with the resurrection of the dead and stuff. But when this 144 goes up, the heavens are open up. And Satan can see God in his throne room. It ain't going to be like you can't see it now. He's going to see that. And it's going to be something like, whoa. I believe the whole earth is going to be able to see it. You know, they're like, whoa, what's going on? But the liar lies there. He's going to convince, oh, don't pay no attention to that. I'm God. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things given us. As we think about so much things that can be on our mind right now, Lord, about creation and about the universe and about, you know, the things that pertaining just your creation. But Lord, as you showed us in Psalms, and you showed us how you have taken the revelation that was a witness in the stars to talk to mankind and put it in a book, we want to thank you for that. And Lord, there's people out there today are really confused about what direction they must go because they just believe that everything is God, from God. But we know that through your Son, Jesus Christ, that you came to this earth, you died, and was buried and rose again for our sins, that we believe that in our hearts and trust that, that we will we can have an understanding of what you're doing now and what you're doing in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Until next week. Thank you.